speak to that which concerns us beyond our immediate experiences, beyond our immediate conversations of life. Speak to that which is tied to our loins, to everything and everyone that is within the jurisdiction of our authority. Speak to our household. Speak to the ministries that you've given to us, to your sons and daughters you have committed to us. Speak to the new disciples that we are raising. Speak to your church. Speak to our cities and the nations. We give you praise.
Is my heart, Lord. Is my heart, Lord.
Jesus.
Is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true.
Tell him.
Is my heart, Lord.
Everything is open, Lord.
Is my heart, Lord.
Jesus.
Is my heart, Lord.
Speak what is true.
Speak what is true.
One word from you can revolutionize not just a life and a destiny, can revolutionize a world. One word. Thank you for the move of your spirit in this place. Awaken all that is within us. Thank you for the refreshing of the Spirit that has prepared our hearts to receive that which you speak. I yield myself again. Thank you for the unction and utterance to function in this moment. That I speak your word and the ability your spirit gives as your very oracle with precision and accuracy, and yet with simplicity such that a child can understand. Thank you for the quickening of the understanding, opening of the heart and the scriptures to us. We give you praise. We honor you, Father, and we bless your holy name. This is your house. This is what it's all about. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering of praise. Do you really mean it? Is it to the Lord an offering of praise? Are you sure? Praise him with a clap offering. Praise him with a shout of hallelujah. Praise the Lord, all ye people. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Glory, 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 glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Welcome everyone by your side, to the left and to the right. Make sure there be no stranger by your side. Welcome them to church. Let them know how excited you are that they are in church. Introduce yourselves and let them introduce themselves. Get to know their names and be genuine about it. There is a miracle God placed by your side today. Don't take it for granted. Hallelujah. I'm going to be speaking to us by the Spirit of the Lord on the subject, the overflowing life mindset. We have seen it, and if you are not yet so sure of it, I will encourage you to make a habit of studying the scriptures and giving your attention to God's word and what he's saying. A habit. You can start with reading and meditating on one chapter of the scriptures a day. And I will advise you to start from the New Testament. If some of the older versions, like in James Version, New King James Version, you find it difficult in any way to understand the constructions of the languages, you can use newer translations like NIV, like New Living Translation, and check that. But what you want to do is to study, be diligent, give yourself to God's word daily. Consistently, and do it with an intention. I want to know you, Lord, and I want to grow in the knowledge of you. Reveal yourself to me in your word. Reveal yourself to me in your word. And then you engage the help of the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, our counselor, our teacher, who guides us into all truth, who reveals to us who the Father is and who Jesus Christ is in his word. You talk to the Holy Spirit in faith. Spirit of the living God, I believe you live in me and you dwell in me. My body is your temple. And today I engage your ministry. My heart is open. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. I don't want to have a head knowledge of what I'm reading. I'm not reading this for arguments. I'm not reading it to know who is right or wrong. I want to know you. Teach me. Guide me into the truths. The things that are hidden on the pages of these letters. Reveal them to me. Reveal your son Jesus, that he may be glorified in my life. And then you receive utterance and you pray in the Holy Spirit. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue. Does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he utters mysteries. So mysteries are realities that are hidden. Hidden mysteries. Hidden realities, they are real, they exist, but they are hidden. Until they are revealed, no one can know them. And then you read. Give yourself to God's word. When you do, the things we speak by the Spirit will no longer sound like encouragement or excitement. No, it's beyond it. Yes, it encourages. Yes, it excites the heart, but it's beyond that. They will become reality, life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. When I tell you that it's the perfect will of God for us to live a victorious life, a prosperous life, and a glorious life, it won't sound as a concept that is just, you know, a religious fabrication. We know the language. But in real experience, it's not really like that. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes life just embarrasses you. Sometimes that's actually what is real. You will get to know the mind of God. You will get to know the will of God. One of the prayers I pray for myself and I pray for the church always is that I be filled and we be filled with the knowledge, filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom. You know, wisdom is what converts knowledge into practical use for profitability. Knowledge can be stored, but until you understand how to apply it, it's of no use. Wisdom is what applies knowledge appropriately for desired results. That will be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. That means understanding that the Holy Spirit gives. Understanding is the power of wisdom. Wisdom is application, but you can't apply until you know how. Understanding a matter is what empowers you to apply it correctly. When I tell you that there is a concept of life where you never lose, you cannot be defeated. It is impossible. There will be good days and there will be tough days. But even when things are difficult, the hardest moments of your life, that's when your victory becomes the loudest. You just don't lose. All things work together for your good. When I tell you that that life is real, when you go to the scripture, it won't just be the rhetorics of a sweet-mouthed pastor. No, you will know that I'm speaking by the Spirit. There is such a life. There is such a life that is prosperous by the blessing, such that all that you do, not some of the things you do, everything you do prospers because God is with you. The blessing is speaking over your life. It's a real life. Praise the Lord. There is such a life. Somebody said there is such a life. Shut loud. I said it's real. When I tell you that there is a life of glory where God beautifies you with the splendor of His presence, you're clothed with Christ, you wear the anointing. It's a vesture. A vesture. The oil of his fountain is on your head, flowing through you. Such a life where God beautifies you and makes you a radiant glory. Your face is radiant with his glory. Your aura is inundated with glory. Your aura, you come in, and you come in with a host. The atmosphere around you is filled with glory. That such a life is real, and is God's perfect will for every believer. A life of abundance that in all seasons, when there is plenty and when there is scarcity, no matter what, in harvest seasons and in famine, no matter the circumstance, you are bound. That the circumstances of life do not limit the outcome of your faith. The circumstances of life do not limit the outcome of your faith. That once you believe it, you have a recompense of that which you have believed. Your hands will handle what your heart has conceived. There is a life of abundance. If I tell you it is real, it is real. There is a life of uninterrupted peace and health. It's real. Where you can give a testimony that for 60 years I have lived in divine health uninterruptedly. It is real. And not because symptoms of sicknesses didn't try to attack your body, but because the anointing, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, who dwells in you, keeps quickening your physical body, giving life to every cell of your blood, every bone of your structure, every fiber of your being, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, that you are kept preserved. Sickness is not permitted within your space. You only go to hospitals to visit people, to pray for them. That's all. That life is real. And it doesn't matter how you were born, and it doesn't matter all the hereditary things from the genetics of your parents, whether they said in your family your people used to have this kind of eye disease, your people used to have this kind, it doesn't matter, that there is another life at work in you. If I tell you it is real, but you see, this life is not and cannot be lived naturally. That's just the issue. No natural man with a natural life can have these experiences that I'm saying. It's not possible. The natural life has already been dented and corrupted with sin. Just like the persons who exist in this natural world and live by the wisdom of this natural world and live by the dictates of this natural world cannot have this kind of life, because this natural world is subjected to corruption. Sin has dented it. It's not possible. In this natural world, every human being has trouble. There is another place where you can have peace. And so Jesus shows us an example. He shows us right with physical flesh and bones, and you could touch it right here on this earth, with the opposition of sinful men, with the hatred and the rejection of his own people to whom he came, with the odds stacked against him, he lived victorious. He lived a life without sin. He never lost a battle. He had all devils and demons under his command. Creation obeyed his voice. And he showed us what is possible for a man living in this world, not that is not of this world, to have dominion over this world. He showed us. And so, he showed us what is possible. What is possible for everyone who will believe in him and have his life. What is possible. Now, these things I'm saying, depending on the level you are in your journey with God, it will be sounding somehow to you. That's why the message is called the overflowing life mindset. For this to become your experience, God's going to have to work on everything that's already programmed in your mind that is resisting that this is possible. That as I'm talking now, there are some people that are already having arguments in their mind. Pastor, be real. Even you, Pastor, are you telling us? Is it not because you are with the mic? There are things you're not telling us. It be real. Be real. Let's be real, Lord. Let's be real, Lord. What's that thing in your mind? But thanks be to God that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God unto the pulling down of what? Unto the pulling down of what? And verse 5. Put verse 5. What is the stronghold? Shout it loud. Want to go? Casting down words. So all those arguments you're having in the journey we are about to take about the overflowing life, those arguments will be cast down. The light of God's word will expose every lie the devil told you to program a resistance against what God is offering by grace. He will expose it. You will find out that all those things you believed and all those arguments you are making were lies from the devil. You were not born with those things. Somebody told you. Somebody convinced you. Somebody raised you that way. Experiences were used to convert you. If you told a man who was broke all his life for about 50 years of his life, if you told him that that's not all. I was listening to a lady who said, I never made any profit and ran any business that worked until I was 50. Everything I tried before 50 failed. That's what she said. It all failed. But I didn't give up. I kept doing it. I used every failure as a lesson. Learned what not to do. It motivated me more. I went for more trainings. I accepted there were things I didn't understand. I knew there are things I needed to change, and I kept changing. He said, at 50, I ran the first business that worked. At 55, I made my first $1 billion. Now, if you have told that lady at 45, you're not a broke woman. The will of God is that you're going to live in overflowing wealth. If she didn't believe it, And she allowed the past 45 years of her failures to convert her mind. She will say, "You're lying. I'm already a failure." You see, nothing will persist in your life until you argue for it. Argue for your limitations and it will surely be yours. Say you can't and you surely can't. Say it's not possible and surely it will not be possible. Nothing will persist if your life, if you can know what the will of God is and you can see it clearly that this is against the will of God, that means I can't accept it. If you refuse it, if you refute it, if you resist it, and you stand on your faith that God's will be done in my life as it is in heaven. If the word of God is settled in heaven, it will be settled in my life. If you will stand your ground, you will see the mighty wonders of God. Don't close that book. They've not finished writing your story. And I don't care how old you are. You're not going yet until your songs of God's faithfulness sounds louder. You will check out of this life when you are full of the physical life with songs of God's faithfulness on your mouth. You will not live with the regrets of what could have been and what couldn't have been. No, you will live with God is a God of restoration. You will laugh last. I speak to you, you are laughing last. In the name of Jesus Christ. Today is a day of worship. And sometimes it happens that way. And we have to just exalt and magnify the one. This is his house. And so I will give you two scriptures or three scriptures that you have to meditate on, and then come on Wednesday. Wednesday, we have a business to deal with. Write the scriptures down. Make sure you meditate on them. John chapter 5, verse 26. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So there is a God kind of life, and there is a man kind of life. The man kind of life cannot experience what I just said, but the God kind of life is a reality. Not sometimes, daily. There is a God kind of life. As the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 to 12. Make sure you're writing them down, because if you are not writing them down, you sure you're going to remember them? So you can go back and meditate on them. And this is the testimony, join me, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in him. So, what life is in his Son? As God has life in himself, he gave his Son the God kind of life. And this is the testimony, that this God has given us, not will give us, eternal life. Verse 12, one to go, shout it loud. He who has... Simple. It's not a prayer. It's not a promise. It's a statement of reality. If you have the Son, you have life. You may not know it, but you have life. You may not think it, but you have life. Did he hear what I said? He who does not have the Son does not have life. John chapter 10 verse 10. Give me the amplified version. Stand on your feet. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the Spirit of the Son of God. I've got the life of God in me. I can't be confused, because with that life is His wisdom. I have God's wisdom. I know what to do. I'm always going to be in the right place at the right time. I'm always walking the right path. I follow the course that is laid out for me by the Lord. Predestination is at work in my favor. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Now join me. This is Jesus speaking. Want to go? I came that they may have and what? Have and what? And what? Have it in what? Above. To the till it. If this is not real, then Jesus has no integrity. Experiences are also real. Who do I believe? There is a warfare. You now choose who you're going to believe. Who has believed our report? The scripture says in Isaiah 53, and then he says, and to whom has the hand of the Lord been revealed? When you believe, the hand will be revealed. Will you stand in the place of believing? Get back to 2 Corinthians 10. So what strongholds, as we are meditating and we come back on Wednesday, there are strongholds we are laying down. Because where there is no flow is because there is a hindrance. This life dwells in your spirit. If it's not flowing to your mind. Now end it up. Lift your hands and say, and I enjoy this life. I have it abundantly to the full till it overflows. I enjoy the overflowing life. I do not struggle. I do not lack. I have the overflowing life. I live the fullness of life. If you believe it, shout your loudest amen. Put a loud praise on it. Amen. Have your seat in God's presence. I want to welcome everyone else in church again one more time. And now begin to prepare your tithes, your offerings, your partnership sacrifices. If you had made pledges or vows, whatever it is that you are giving. And those of us who give through other means, the information will be on the screen for us. Now, while you're doing that, I want to inform every one of us that this Wednesday is going to be very strategic to what God is doing in this season. Tell your neighbor, don't miss Super Wednesday service. Say, and don't come alone. I am asking my Father and your Father, the Lord that I serve, to prepare a special package specifically of blessings and honor to those who will commit and make an investment of grace, make sincere efforts in making sure that they bring someone else to church on this Wednesday. You bring at least one person. Don't come alone. At all costs. Don't say, "Pastor, I tried to, but they didn't come." No. Pray about it. Compel them to come in the spirit. And then take diligent steps. Persuade. Let the person not just like, I hope you come to church. No. Persuade the person. Because you know the quality of God's work of grace in their hearts if they will be here. You know what the blessing will be upon them. You know they will be grateful and they will thank you. So do that because you care about them and you care about their blessing. And these persons might be people you're close to. They might be members of the church you know that may not come, and you're persuading them. And because they are new, or they are not so used to midweek services, or they might be strangers, whoever they are, tell them. And if you have families outside of the city and different places, you have friends and people you care about, tell them to make sure they connect life on Wednesday. Something will happen here on Wednesday. Give God praise. Oh, you better give God a mighty praise. You give God in advance. Give him with faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Stand on your feet as we give.